start with Esther, would you believe? Chapter 6, famous story. It says, that night, the king could not sleep. So he ordered the book of Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him. Wouldn't it be good if you couldn't sleep just to have someone come and read to you the record of your reign? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that beats counting sheep, I think. It was found there that Mordecai had exposed Bigthana and Theresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? The king asked. Nothing has been done for him, his attendants answered. Well, the king said, who is in the court? Now, Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about impaling Mordecai on the pole he had set up for him. He sounds like a really nice fella, doesn't he? What are you up to, Haman? Oh, I'm just erecting this pole to impale one of my enemies. What have you been doing? Watching football? Boring. You should do the things that I'm into, yeah? So this is Haman. He's setting up a pole to impale someone. The attendants answered, Haman is still in the court, is standing in the court. Bring him in, the king ordered. When Haman entered, the king asked him, what should be done for the man the king delights to honor? I want you to remember that phrase. What should be done for the man the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought to himself, who is there that the king would honor rather than me? I mean, I'm the one setting up poles to impale people. Who else would the king rather honor than me? So he answered the king, for the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn and a horse the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on its head, and then let the robe and the horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Go at once, the king commanded Haman. Get the robe and the horse and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything you have recommended. So Haman got the robe and the horse. He robed Mordecai and led him on a horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. So, bad luck for Haman, right? He didn't get to use that pole, but he did get to lead his enemy through the streets proclaiming, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Now, when I was researching righteousness and praying and thinking about it, I wanted to come up with an example, something that would change the way you see your relationship with God. And this is the scripture that came to mind, this story in Esther, where Mordecai is led around on a horse, a king's horse, with a royal crest on it, with a royal robe, and it's being proclaimed that this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. I'm not really going to speak about this story. I just wanted to give you this example and put this picture in your mind. Because there's only really three characters in this story. There's Haman, and he represents the devil. The name Haman actually means magnificent. And we all know Lucifer was magnificent, amen? He was the angel in charge of worship. He had that beautiful vest on, but he got so full of pride and he fell. And Haman kind of represents that mindset. Like, who else would the king rather honor than me? Yeah, I am magnificent. I am amazing. Surely he wants to honor me. Mordecai represents you and I. And the king represents God the Father. And it's interesting to me that the king is up at night plotting ways that he might honor and esteem and lift up you. That's the nature of the king. That's what God wants to do. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, you've heard that verse. The devil roams around like a roaring lion, seeing whom he can devour. That's what Haman was doing. He was there plotting to destroy, setting up a pole. But the king was up at night thinking, what can I do to honor and lift up and esteem? And the reason the king wanted to honor and lift up and esteem Mordecai was because Mordecai had right standing with the king. Mordecai was in right standing with the king. And I want to get it into your mind this morning that you have right standing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want you to keep that picture in that, because I think too many of us still see ourselves in wrong standing, out of favor, out of touch, when it's not true. You have right standing because of a thing called righteousness. Righteousness, the way Paul uses it in the New Testament, is almost a legal term that means you have right standing. Righteousness is not someone who never does anything wrong. Righteousness is not for those people who pray 35 hours a day. It's possible. I've heard people that have claimed it, right? Who've read the Bible backwards 6 times and can recite it in Hebrew. Righteousness is not for people that are so holy that when they walk down the aisle 3 of Woolworths, even the baked beans fall over, you know, they're just... That's not righteousness. Righteousness is a standing you have with God, and you and I have righteousness this morning. You and I are in right standing with God. Like Mordecai was in right standing with the king, you and I are in right standing with God. See, there's 3 things about righteousness you need to understand. Number one is that your righteousness comes from faith. Right? Faith is the source of your righteousness. You don't have a righteousness that comes from your performance. You don't have a righteousness that comes from your goodness. You don't have a righteousness that comes from the law or from an absence of mistakes or from an absence of failures. You have a righteousness which is through faith in Christ. Amen? You lean on Christ. You trust in Christ. You rely on Him for your righteousness. And it's always been that case since the days of Noah and Abraham all the way through to you. Your righteousness is faith in Christ, yeah? That is the source of your righteousness. Your righteousness is revealed in the gospel. If you want to learn about your righteousness, if you want to understand it, if you want to investigate it, it is found in the gospel. It says, "For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed." A righteousness that comes by faith from first to last. It's by faith in Christ and it's revealed in the gospel. And your righteousness, listen to this, this is a good verse, is just like the righteousness of God. Well, I know that sounds radical. I know that sounds even a little bit heretical. But it says that God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. I was in about grade 9 and I went to a Christian school. I highly recommend it, all right? If you've got kids, send them to a Christian school if you can. I mean, you might have a different opinion, but I believe in Christian schooling. And I, because this is the conversations you get to have at a Christian school, which they aren't having in state schools, right? I was in grade 9 and we had a missionary come through and speak to our class. And he started his talk like this. He goes, "Who here in this room is righteous?" And I was about 14, and I was like, I don't know, what's the correct answer to that question? And I was looking around, you know what you do when you're 14, you look around to see how many hands are going up, and I was like, put your hand down, what are you doing, you know? I heard what you said at lunchtime. And I think, well, have I done my homework this week? Did I unstack the dishwasher when my parents said, I didn't know the right answer. And he goes, he said, "Everyone in this room who believes in Jesus, you should have your hand up because you are righteous." And he went on to explain a few theological facts and that there are no half measures of righteousness. There are no increments of righteousness. You're either in right standing or you're not in right standing, yeah? That means that if you have faith in Christ, everybody here is totally righteous. You can't be partially righteous. You can't be a bit righteous. You can't be righteous on Wednesday and not on Thursday and then righteous again on Friday. It doesn't work like that. You are righteous. And if there's only one standard of righteousness, That means that as righteous as God is, that is the same righteousness that he's imparted to you. Does that make sense? That is the standard of righteousness. So you have become the righteousness of God. That's how righteous you are. And it's by faith, and it's revealed in the gospel. So Mordecai finds himself in right standing with the king. And so I wanted that picture in your mind, and I thought, I'm going to go through scripture, and I'm going to look up as many verses as I can that mention the word righteousness. And we're going to go through all 700. No, we're not. We're going to go through a few of them this morning. Pete, some people have like a roast in the oven, you know what I mean? Like it's Sunday night. We're going to go through a few this morning. I don't want to highlight, this isn't an exhaustive list, but I'm going to separate a few of these scriptures into categories for you. Number one thing that I found looking at these scriptures on righteousness is that there's many verses in the Bible that talk about your righteousness bringing favor. Look at these ones. It says, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. How good's that? He blesses the righteous and he surrounds them with his favor. It says, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. You believe that this morning? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That verse is in context, is about do not worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear. The Lord knows you need all these things. Just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. You live, because you're in right standing, you have the favor of God that other people don't have. You have the favor of God. He is up all night thinking of ways to honor you and bless you and esteem you. He's not up all night thinking of ways he's disappointed in you and ways he wants to punish you and ways you could be better. That's how you think about yourself. That's not how he thinks about you. He's looking to give you gifts and to bless you and to lift you up and esteem you. So the problem is that two things are true at once, and this is true in all parts of Christianity. I make mistakes, and I get things wrong, and I fail, and I'm a work in progress, and that is true. My wife can testify. In fact, if I give her the microphone, we could be here all day. She's got a few things to say. When I started watching football on my phone when I was meant to be at a radio last night, I saw judgment in her eyes, okay? She wouldn't mention it, but, you know. I make mistakes. That's true. Yet, I am 100% completely righteous in right standing with God. Both are true at the same time. What are you? Are you making mistakes or are you righteous? Yes. Both. And the problem is that sometimes we are so conscious of these things, and the devil points out these things, and we look at these things, that the first thing we think of when we think of God is these things, and he wants to convince you that you're not in right standing with God. Does that make sense? That's what he wants to do. But you need, by faith, to lean on Jesus and to trust in Jesus that his blood was enough, that he did die and he did rise again. Therefore, I am in right standing with him. And I want to lean on that. And so I am in right standing and I can expect the favor of God in my life. Even though I don't dismiss these things, I don't ignore these things, I don't pretend they don't exist. When it comes to my relationship with God and my standing with God, I lean on Christ. And they are both true at the same time. If you see yourself like this on this side and you're always conscious of it, and you're always, that's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of your standing with God. What it does is it affects your faith. And it lowers your faith. And you don't expect the favor of God. When you're going for that job interview, or you need that breakthrough in finances, or you need that that house or whatever it is, you don't expect the goodness of God and the favor of God when your mind is always conscious on these things. But if you lean on Christ and you say, now hang on a second, what would God like to do for a righteous person? Well, God wants to honor, and he wants to esteem, and he wants to lift up. That's what he wants to do. There are many verses in the Bible about how God answers the prayers of righteous people. Look at this one. It says, the eyes of the Lord, are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. Whose cry does the Lord hear? The righteous person's cry. It says that the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. And then this famous one in James 5, it says, therefore confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed, because the prayer of a righteous person avails much. When you pray, when you ask for things, do you know you're praying as a righteous person? It goes on in James 5 to say that Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and it started raining. Hey, if you've got needs, if you've got things where you need a breakthrough, you need to know that you are in right standing with God and he is listening to your requests. That when you pray as a righteous person. So many of our prayers, I feel like, come from this place of, oh God, if you would listen to me, if you are watching, I know I've mucked up here and I can't expect too much, but if you could just be nice just this once, and maybe, you know, just if you could. Really? You're a righteous person. You're in right standing with God. You know when you're at a planning meeting, like a committee meeting, maybe you're doing some fundraising, and somebody says, you know, we need to raise some funds. Who can approach such and such business and see if they'll sponsor the event? It's always that person in the room that goes, oh yeah, I know them. They go, you ask them then, you know? Why? Because you've got standing with them. Yeah? A stranger's not going to be listened to, but it's the person that has standing with them will be listened to. My kids have worked this out. You know, you hear your kids asking, can you ask Dad if we can watch TV? No, he'll listen to you. No, you do it. You can hear them whispering in the background, you know? I don't know what this says about my parenting, but sometimes my kids get the neighbours to come and ask me if they can go and play. Can Toby wants to know if he can come outside and play. Toby, I'm right here. I don't know what that says. But you have a right standing with God. You can rely on the work of Christ that when you have something that you need, that you require, when you ask, you can be 100% confident he's listening. His eyes are on you and he's listening, and the prayer of a righteous person avails much. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, he says, previously, you've not need to ask the Father for anything because I've been here. He says, but when I go, ask the Father in my name. Anything you ask the Father in my name will be done for you. It's like just name drop Jesus, yeah? He's in right standing, yeah? Hey, Father, in the name of Jesus, yeah, righteousness. You are in right standing with God, and you can expect. I try and do this when I pray, and I'm not even making this up. I do this. I actually say to myself, as a righteous person who's been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, I speak to this situation, yeah? And I'm telling this sickness to go. I'm telling this enemy to leave. I'm telling this breakthrough, this job to come, this deal to be done. Whatever needs to happen, this relationship to be fixed. And I'm not saying that to boast in my own, I'm building my own faith. I'm standing on the scripture and the work of Christ, and I'm saying, well, hang on a second. I could be down here praying in hope, or I could stand on the righteousness of God and pray in some faith and speak to it and say, a prayer of a righteous person does many things. It carries weight because you have right standing with God. I hope that's making sense to you this morning. The final thing I found, and like I said, this isn't an exhaustive list of all the righteousness scriptures in the Bible, but the righteous reign in life. And this is up there, this one, for one of my favorite verses in all of scripture. Romans 5:17 says, "How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of his righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" There's the secret to reigning in life. Receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of his righteousness, and you will reign in life. It says, "The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm." And in the way of righteousness, there is life. Hey, the world is full of anxiety. The world is full of fear. Have you seen how high the inflation rate's getting? Oh, they're going to be able to get that under control. You reckon the RBA is going to raise rates again? Oh, do you think there's going to be war between such and such and such and such? And have you seen the law they're trying to pass? Yuck. Hey, none of those things are good, but they shouldn't be keeping you up at night. Because the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. You're a righteous person. Everybody else might be tossed around by the economic winds and the political winds, and they've got nothing to put their trust in. They've got nothing to hold their hat on. I can understand why they're anxious. I can understand why they worry, why they stay up at night. But you and I, we are in right standing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's been up all night thinking of ways to bless you and honor you and esteem you. He's been up all night thinking of ways to guard you and protect you and to make your path straight. And when everyone else falls over, he's right there with you, 100%. He's got your back. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. I mean, if God is for us, who can be against us? We stand in his presence all the time, permanently, through the work of Jesus Christ. You can expect God to work on your behalf. Now, does that mean you're not going to have opposition in life? No, you're going to have opposition. Does that mean you won't get persecuted? No, you're going to be persecuted. Is that going to mean you're not going to have to work hard? No, God believes in hard work. He gave Adam and Eve a job. Two things are true at the same time. We still co-labor with Christ. We still have a path to walk. We still walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yeah? But like many people have pointed out, you walk through it. You don't camp there. That's not your lot in life. That's not where you've been called to set up your house and to live, because God is leading you through that out the other side. You're a righteous person. You're a righteous person. And God is thinking to himself right now, what can I do for my righteous people? Where's the worship team? Come on up. As I said, I was racking my brain. How can I put a picture in people's mind of the standing that they have with God and the nature of God and the way he wants to treat them? What I'm trying to do is change a mindset, is to change a pattern of thinking. That's actually what repentance is to change your thinking, yeah? I'm trying to get you to a point where your pattern is no longer, "I'm so far away, I can expect little, God is not going to listen to me, God is not going to come through for me because of this." I'm trying to change that pattern. Because if you can break that pattern with the truth of Scripture, yeah, the truth will set you free and you'll start to walk differently. I'm trying to build your faith. There are things that you might be walking through right now And for some reason, you've believed a lie to say that God is not going to intervene on your behalf. Your faith is down here. You've accepted it to say, well, this is what my lot in life. I'll just have to walk this, and this is my lot in life. Or there are things where you've lowered your expectation that God might do those sorts of things for other people. Miracles are for other people. Breakthroughs are for other people. And those stories of amazing favor are for other people. But, you know, you've convinced yourself you're down here. I'm trying to break that pattern. That's not true. That's not true. Sometimes, you know, even here in North Queensland, we get this thing that, you know, God does big things in other places. You know, those big breakthroughs and those revivals are for other centres and for big cities and for other towns. Where does that come from? Who made that up? That's not true. God won't heal me because. Because what? You're not perfect? Does God only heal perfect people? I can't expect that promotion. I can't expect to ever own a house. We had this couple in a previous church. And the wife particularly, she would repeat this all the time. Yeah, we'll never own a house. That's not really for us. And I would hear that. If you want to stay up on worrying about something, worry about that. Like, not that you'll never own a house, but that people go around believing that. I don't like that. And she would say that we'll always be renters. Why? No, not true. That's only true because you believe that. God has got something for you. He's got a permanent house for you. And I 100% believe it. And I would challenge that. That thought pattern can only come from a place of this is what I deserve. This is my lot. And that's the devil's work. He's a liar. But we have a different thought pattern. We have a righteousness that puts us in a place of great standing with God. And the Bible says that the king took Mordecai, or had someone take Mordecai, and he put that robe on him. And he put him on the king's horse, and it had the royal crest on the horse. And then there was a proclamation that went out for everyone. This is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. That's the picture I want you to meditate on this week. I want you to see yourself on this horse. I want you to see yourself with this robe. I want you to hear the voice being spoken over your life this week. I want you to pray to the Holy Spirit. Let me hear that voice. Son, daughter, I'm honoring you. I am esteeming you. You are precious to me. You are valuable to me. I am clearing the path for you. I am bringing answers for you. I am overcoming challenges for you. That is the voice that should be echoing in your ear every morning and every evening. And I think there's a challenge there for some people this week to read that story and see that picture and to pray on it and to meditate on it. And don't let it go till you see yourself on that horse, because it will build your faith. It will build your faith. There are challenges facing some of you right now when you wish that they would be smaller. You wish that they would somehow magically disappear. And God is saying, well, hang on, no, how about we just make you a little bit bigger? How about we just lift you a little bit higher? How about we just increase your faith, and then you'll be able to just take it. Does that make sense? You'll be able to take it on. Sometimes the worst thing, the silliest thing the devil does is put challenges in the way of Christians. He does them to design them to take you out and to squash you. But what ends up happening for those Christians that meditate and they get there and they build is that those challenges only seek to make them stronger and bigger and raise their faith. Does that make sense? They exercise their faith muscle and they backfire on the devil. Happens all the time. And it can happen in your life. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Maybe there's some people in the house today and you do feel like you're not currently in right standing with God. You felt like you're out of favor. You felt like God's over here and you're over there. And that may be because you've never placed your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ. Or maybe you have, but for some reason you've forgotten it and you've listened to the lies of the enemy, or you've been so focused on the things that you've been doing wrong that you've just felt that disconnect. You felt like, you know, he's way over there and I'm way over here. Well, I want to give you an invitation this morning to step out of that and to step into right standing with God. It's done by faith. It's done by faith. One of the best ways we can express our faith is to declare, is to speak it. So this morning, if you feel like you're not in right standing with God, maybe you've never given your heart to Christ, maybe you've done many times, or for some reason you just feel like that, I want you to just quickly raise your hand. You can be bold. We're going to pray a prayer this morning for you. Excellent. Anybody else this morning? We're going to include you in my prayer. Awesome. I see a couple of hands going up. Dear Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you for these hands, Lord, raised. Lord, we pray right now, Holy Spirit, for a gift of faith in their heart. Lord, that they would see themselves the way that you see them. Lord, each of us here this morning, we confess our faith in Jesus Christ. That by his blood, by his death, by his resurrection, we are 100% righteous and blameless in your sight. If you need to confess that this morning, just confess that. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you've made me righteous. Say, thank you, Jesus, I'm in right standing. Hallelujah. 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 And God, this morning we pray for those people with challenges. If you've got a challenge this morning and you've been listening to the enemy and you've convinced yourself that it's too big, it's too hard, that nothing will change, but this morning you feel the Holy Spirit encouraging you afresh to believe, to believe. Lift your hand this morning. We're going to pray for those challenges. Excellent. Hands going up. That's great. Lord God, Lord, you see every hand. Lord God, we pray. Lord, let the lies of the enemy cease. We rebuke the liar. We tell him to go in Jesus' name. We rebuke every argument that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ and against the truth of Christ. Lord God, for these challenges, Lord God, we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord God, we speak to these mountains. We tell them to move in the name of Jesus as righteous people who stand in your presence. Lord God, we will speak, Lord, to the weather and tell it to change. We'll tell it to stop raining. We'll tell it when to start raining. Lord God, we'll tell jobs when to come and when they can go. Lord God, we'll tell relationships to be fixed and transformed. Father, we'll tell financial breakthroughs that they must come in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we speak to sickness, to disease, to cancers. Lord God, we tell them as righteous people, in the name of Jesus, go, leave, and never come back. You're not welcome in this family. You're not welcome in this house. This is a house where the righteous reign, where the righteous rule.